Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome to this Let the Bible Speak gospel broadcast today. I'm delighted to be with you. We do trust that as we consider God's word and the message of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord himself will presence himself with us and that we indeed will be blessed. And we trust there is a blessing for you as you watch on today. We're going to commence with a word of prayer, and let us look to the Lord now and pray for his blessing upon the preaching of the gospel. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come before thee with praise. We rejoice not merely in the temporal good things of life, for we acknowledge that every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We acknowledge that all that we have is from thy giving and gracious hand. But Lord, as we count our many temporal blessings, yet we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love us, sinners condemned and unclean. And we do give thee thanks for the spiritual blessings that we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he loved sinners, that he came from heaven to live and die and rise again for sinners. We thank you for his virgin birth, his perfect and sinless life, for his atoning death and sacrifice at Calvary, for his victorious and glorious resurrection, for his ascension into heaven. And we praise thee that one day he will return again as the triumphant, conquering King who shall reign over all and judge all. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We pray that as men and women listen to the message today, that the word of God will go forth not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We pray that it will speak to the hearts of sinners, that it will encourage God's people. And Father, any listening on who have never come to the place where they have called upon the Lord, publicly professed him and believed in him to be their Savior, may this be the day of their salvation. May salvation come to this their house, their home, even this day. We give thee thanks. We pray that thou wilt bless all that is said and done through this gospel broadcast today. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading today is taken from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we're reading from chapter 28. We'll commence our reading at verse 10 and read to the end of the chapter, which is verse 22. So Genesis 28, verse 10 to verse 22. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to have our second hymn now. It's that lovely old gospel hymn of consecration. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. When a soul is converted to Jesus Christ, that saved sinner not only repents of his sin, trusts the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Savior, and is born again of the Spirit of God, but the believing saved sinner will also make public confession that the Lord Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And in verse 21 of Genesis 28, we have recorded for us what seems to be Jacob's confession and profession of faith. At the end of verse 21, he declares, then shall the Lord be my God. Now, Jacob, of course, was one of the three great patriarchs of faith that we read about in the book of Genesis: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And although Jacob was brought up by believing parents, Isaac and Rebekah, there does not seem to be anything that suggests that he was either saved or spiritual when he came to Luz, or Bethel as it came to be known as in Genesis chapter 28. In fact, it appears that Jacob was a mature man when he arrived at Luz that night, and it also appears that he was there merely fleeing from the troubles that he left behind him. It would seem that he was around anywhere between 60 to 75 years of age. And yet when he arrived at Luz that night, God took a dealing with him. The Lord stepped into his life, and a great change took place in relation to the events at Luz that evening. And it appears that this was the time whenever Jacob met with God, recognized who the Lord was, put his trust in him, and professed and confessed him to be his God and his Savior. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone even now, and that has been your experience. You've been brought up by believing parents. You've been taught the gospel from a young age. You've witnessed and watched the godly example of the older generation, parents and grandparents. But now you're mature in years, and you still find yourself living a life of sin, far from God. Well, I trust and pray that Jacob's experience at Bethel will be your experience, and you will come to the place where you will publicly confess and profess, "The Lord shall be my God." May you meet him, may you trust him, and may you confess him. There are a number of things about Jacob's meeting with the Lord at Bethel that I leave with you just now. I want you to consider, firstly, the distress that brought him to Bethel. There's a little phrase in verse 10 that sums up Jacob's earthly circumstances at this time in his life. It says, "And Jacob went out." That sums up his life at this particular time. He went out from his home. He went out from his family. He went out from his employment. He went out from his possessions. And he left them all behind. He lost them all. He left them all for over 20 years as he made his way from his home and his family to Paddan Aram. He went out from home. Out from family. Leaving it all behind. What did he leave behind as he made his journey in Genesis 28 from his home place to Paddan Aram to dwell with his uncle Laban for a period of some 20 years? He left behind division. His family was split and separated over major disagreements. There were problems in the home, disagreements in the home. And the family was divided. He left behind major division. He carried with him a death threat, so enraged and incensed. And if you read the context, you discover that Esau, his brother, was incensed and filled with rage because of Jacob's actions. He had cheated his brother. He had deceived his father. And Esau vowed revenge upon Jacob because he felt Jacob had stolen what was rightfully his. He left behind division. He carried with him a death threat where his brother was threatening to slay him. And before him was the darkness of uncertainty, heading to a strange land to start anew. Not knowing what it would bring, having only the clothes on his back and what he could carry. It's fair to say that Jacob's life was a mess. And it was a mess because of his own sin. Jacob deceived his father. Jacob cheated his brother. Jacob schemed with his mother. And his sin brought him low, where he had to leave all and flee. And Jacob learned that the way of the transgressor is hard. The gospel lesson is simple. God at times brings the sinner low to bring him to himself. And I wonder, as you look at your life, do you feel like Jacob? Do you identify with the prodigal who, though he started in the father's house, going to the far country, he ended up in the pigsty with nothing? It was then that he said, I will arise and go to my father. Has God brought you low because of your sin? And has he brought you low in the depths of sin that he might cause you to think about your soul and where you stand with God? Oh, consider your life. Consider your circumstances. Consider God's providential dealings with you. Has he brought you to the place where you have nothing, that you might lift up your eyes heavenward and look to God and see that he's challenging you and speaking to you about your soul salvation and your life before him? That's the distress that brought him to Bethel. That's why he was in Bethel that night. I want you to consider the dream that he experienced at Bethel. Because as the sun began to set and he's making his journey to Paddan Aram, he realizes that he needs to rest. And so, having nothing but the stone that he sees he can rest his head on, he lies down under the open canopy of heaven. The stars are before him, and he puts his head to rest upon that stone. And while he slept, he dreamed a dream, an inspired dream, a God-given dream. That dream would teach him the gospel. He dreamed of a ladder. Really, when we think of a ladder, we think of a narrow ladder that maybe we climb the house to wash the windows with. That's not the idea of the ladder that Jacob saw. No, the idea is more of a stairway. He dreamed about a stairway that reached from earth to heaven. Jacob remained in the dust of the ground, and at the top of that stairway was the Lord in all his glory. And on that stairway were the angels who were ascending and descending. That dream revealed the gospel to Jacob, and it was that dream that led him to receive and to confess the Lord as his God and his Savior. What did that dream teach Jacob? It taught him that God truly existed and dwelt in the glory of heaven. And my friends, the gospel begins with the existence of God. God dwelleth in the heavens. He sitteth in the heavens, and he rules and he reigns over all. That dream taught Jacob that he is in the dust, that man was created off the dust. He is earthly, a creature of the dust, limited, finite, and sinful. That dream, furthermore, not only taught Jacob that God exists in the glory of heaven and he rules over earth, it taught him that as a sinner he dwelt in the dust of the ground and he's limited in all that he does. But it taught him that there is an unbridgeable gap between God and man, between the sinner in his sin on earth and God in the glory of heaven. There is a gap that separates man and God that, humanly speaking, cannot be bridged. This dream taught Jacob that God has set up a ladder that bridges the gap between man and God, that reconciles man to God and leads man from earth to heaven at peace with God. That ladder, that stairway to heaven, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the Gospels, the Lord Jesus, speaking to one of his disciples, he had called Nathanael to follow him, and Nathanael, speaking to the Lord, was skeptical. The Lord spoke to Nathanael and he told him, because thou hast believed, when he did believe, he says, thou shalt see greater things than this. He says, thou shalt see heaven opened and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Using that picture in the book of Genesis, The Lord Jesus identified himself as the one on who the angels ascend and descend, and he's the one that bridges the gap between man and his sin and God and the glory of heaven. He is the ladder. He is the one that leads men from earth to heaven by his sacrificial death upon the cross. He has provided a way whereby sinners can be saved. And I want to tell you as we draw to a close, he's the only way to heaven. He's the only ladder. He's the only stairway. He's the only one that can take you from this earth to glory when your life on earth comes to a close. And when death comes, he's the only one can take you to heaven. The only one that can reconcile you to God. The only one that can save your soul and forgive your sin. And I want to ask you, are you on that ladder? Have you trusted and believed in him to the saving of your soul? There's one final thought, and it is his declaration made at Bethel. For realizing that the Lord was the only one who could take him from earth to heaven, he said, "Then shall the Lord be my God." And he vowed a vow. He said, "If God will be with me, or because God will be with me," that's the Lord's presence, "because he will be with me, because he will keep me in the way that I will go, because he will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come to my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." God will be with you. God will protect you. God will provide for you. God will give you saving peace through Christ. Because he has provided all of these things in the gospel, will you not declare him to be your God and your Savior and trust in him and confess him as your Lord? "Then shall the Lord be my God." Have you made that public profession and confession that the Lord is your Savior? I trust that Jacob's experience will be your experience, and you will know God and Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, bless the preaching of thy word to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.